Let's get into God's Word this morning, shall we? Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. As always, if you have need of a Bible, raise your hand. One will be given to you. Luke chapter 17. Isn't my wife beautiful? As long as the girls all say that, not the guys. She's mine, all mine, all mine. I'm actually very, very surprised at how well my wife behaved during announcements this week. Which I will share some of that during my message, but I thought for sure we would have some visuals. Like, Maida, don't put any funny pictures up there. We are in Luke chapter, chapter 17. We're going to pick up in verse 11. As most of you know, last week we finished the book of Revelation. So this week, being the week before Thanksgiving, I certainly asked the Lord what he wanted to share with us. And we want to talk about being thankful to the Lord. So as Lou already prayed, let us once again pray and ask God to prepare our hearts to receive his word. Father God, we thank you so much for the Bibles that we hold in our hands. And Lord, I just want to personally say thank you for a room full of people that have a desire to not only hold your word in their hands, but to read it and then to live by it. And so, God, we know that in our own strength, we cannot live up to your word. But with the power of your Holy Spirit that you have gifted us with, we certainly can. So I pray that you would empower your church, every person in this room, in every seat, empower them with the Holy Spirit, that as we learn these things this morning, that we will not forget them when we leave. But know, Lord, that these things would be lived out in our lives, that we would be grateful, thankful people, Christians that follow and love the Lord. So bless this time in your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. For some of us in this room, it's probably easier to remember. Some of you young folks, but some of us older ones, have to really stretch in our memories to remember as a kid, our parents telling us, when you ask for something, say please, right? When someone gives you something, say thank you. There's a family in this church that anytime their child addresses me, they always say yes, sir, yes, sir. Actually, one of the young kids says yes, ma'am, to me. Okay, you're still growing, I hope. But there's this teaching as a child to be gracious, to be thankful, to be say please, and to yes, sir, and to remember these things. But I wonder what happens as we get older. Do we sometimes forget that lesson? To be thankful, to say please, and to be polite to other people. I think we get so busy and so into our lives, we forget. And it's just to have that habit or have that desire to tell people thank you and please and hold the door and being nice and gracious to people. I think it's important that we do that. And especially as we're coming up to this week, Thursday's Thanksgiving. Yes, we look forward to the turkey and we look forward to whether you call it dressing or stuffing, we won't argue that. And the pies, all the food. But the name of the holiday is Thanksgiving. It would do us well to remember that this year, to be thankful to God, to be grateful for the things that he's given to us, the things that he's shown us, and to truly take the time to exercise that thanksgiving to God. I think it's a great habit that anytime you wake up in the morning to say, good morning, Lord, thank you for another day. For we shouldn't be taken for granted. They are gifts from the Lord. And to be those people that are thankful and grateful. See, unlike a talent, gratitude is something that you choose to do. See, we don't have to learn how to or get better at being grateful. It's not something that is gifted in some and not in others. No, it's something we can all share and give with each other. So let's be thankful because gratitude is a choice. I believe there is always a reason to be thankful. Even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of less or not enough or need, there's always an opportunity to give thanks. To gratitude. So for me, I'm going to share my story. It was a week ago this past Friday, sitting on the couch, crying to a Hallmark movie of some sort. I don't mind saying that. I really love them. My wife was sitting next to me. My nephews are coming into town on Tuesday, 16, 14, and 12. And I was saying, you know, this year I'd like to put the tree up before they come. Usually we take them out, we get a tree, and then we do it together. And I was just like, you know, that's a lot of work. Let's get the tree up before they come. She goes, yeah, that's a good idea. She goes, but the bad part about getting up too early is it'll be dead by Christmas. I said, yeah, that's true. Maybe we'll get a fake one. And then I made a tragic error. I said, are you going to decorate around the house? And she's like, well, what do you mean? Well, I thought maybe we'd do a little bit more this year, because usually you do a little bit there and a little bit there. And well, I might as well have said, you're the worst wife on the planet. Because 2 days later on Sunday, we're sitting in church after the service, and she's telling some friends what I said, a little here and a little there. And she goes, I was so mad at him. What do you mean? I just said, you're a minimalist. You don't like a lot of stuff. You don't like a lot of tchotchkes, she calls them. And so I thought, maybe with the kids coming, we could do a little bit more. Well, if there's no balls or no wreaths or no trees available in the stores, it's because my wife has bought all of them. Christmas has thrown up at my house. Why do I share this story? Because it's funny, one. And there was really no malice behind my statement, but she took it a certain way. But here's the thing. I'm thankful I said it, because the house looks great. But more than that, I'm thankful that she has a gift of creativity. She does a wonderful job. There's a gift, so I'm thankful for those things. So I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful that she can make our house look beautiful, as busy as she is, and all that. I won't get into the other story right now, but what are you thankful for? Thankful for family? Thankful for friends? Thankful for God? What is it you are thankful for? Because I believe if we take the time to exercise our thankfulness, our gratefulness, we'll be thankful people. So I did it a few months ago. I asked you all to shout out things you were concerned about. This morning, I would like to ask you to shout out things that you're thankful for, and thankful, more importantly, to God for. See, we're thankful for turkeys, and we're thankful for all those types of things. But what is it you're thankful to God for? Shout it out. Change. Very good.
Family.
Family, yep, amen. Health. Now, that's interesting, because that was actually a concern we had, was health, and now we're thankful for health. What else did I hear? Life. Yep.
Jesus.
Jesus. Amen. What's that?
Forgiveness.
Provisions.
Love.
Love, friends, and family. I'm thankful for young kids up front that aren't paying attention at all. It's her fault, right? Yeah. You sound like my nephews now. It's not my fault, is it? So we've said a few things, but I want us to remember that this week. To be thankful. Thankful for the cold. Thankful for the sun. Thankful for the things that God gives to us. Certainly forgiveness and that love of family and friends. Be focused on that. Looking for that. Because I've taken us to Luke chapter 17. Because there is a very powerful story of thankfulness in here. And this is what I want us to talk about this morning. Is not to forget to be thankful. Never forget to be thankful to God. Because there is so much every single day, the things that he gives us that we just take for granted. See, I think if we can be thankful in the little things, then we can be thankful in the great, bigger things. Be grateful for that, those things. So ask ourselves, are we being thankful? You know, Blake, I just love the way the Lord works. Obviously, in my message of thanks, all through the Psalms, David says this verse. I'm just showing you Psalm 107, verse 1, Maida, if you'd stick that up there. Here it is. He says it about six times in the Psalms. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Don't we know that God is good? Someone will say all the time, right? For his mercy endures forever. And I just love the fact that David says this over and over and over. We also see it in 1 Chronicles, the very same words. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. What a great reminder to all of us this morning. Of God's greatness, of his mercy upon us. Oh, that we would give thanks to the Lord. You know, you also shared 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks. I've always focused in that verse to say, not for everything. It says, in everything, give thanks. Even in a difficult situation, you can give thanks that God is with you. Oh, that we would give thanks to the Lord. See, we need to give thanks to the giver, not just for the gift. He is a very gifting God. He is a God that gives to us, but we must be thankful for him. That is our focus. And then certainly Job is always a great example for being thankful when you don't have anything, right? Right in the very beginning, Job chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, we read, "And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Job lost everything, and yet he was still able to bless the Lord. Guys, we came into this world with nothing. We aren't going to take anything out with us, but we're going to have the love of God in our hearts. That for us, we can be thankful. Never forget to give thanks. In Luke chapter 17, picking up in verse 11, we read this story. As Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, he has an encounter. He has an opportunity to witness God's power. Read with me in verse 11, Luke chapter 17. "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" To me, one of the greatest pictures in the New Testament of thankfulness, gratitude. As Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem, as Jesus is making his way to go to the cross, to be crucified for the sins of the world, along the way, God gives him opportunities to show God's power, to show God's glory, to show God's grace. And as he's making his way there, he runs into 10 lepers. And notice the Bible tells us they're afar off. If you know anything about lepers in the Bible, they were outcasts. If you had leprosy in these days, you were supposed to yell, "Leprosy, leper, leper, leper," to let people know, "Don't come near me." And it's just so amazing to me, as Jesus is making his way there, here's this encounter of 10 men who have leprosy, and they're just, "Have mercy on us, Lord." They're crying out from a distance. If you can try, it's so impossible, I think, for us to understand the life of a leper. Never able to be around family anymore. Never allowed to be around friends. Can't be in society. You're an outcast. You're set aside. You're put out. And here they are, with some sense of faith, crying out, "Jesus, have mercy on us." Men who probably never experienced mercy in their life from anyone had the faith to say, "Lord, have mercy on us." Guys, I just look at this picture and I just see the reality of sin. See, I think this leprosy that separated these men from community is like the sin in our lives that separate us from God. The sin, whatever mistakes we made, the shortcomings, the missing the marks, it separates us from God. I wonder, do we have the same heart? Do you have the same heart to say, "God, have mercy on me"? And to know that that mercy is there. Leprosy was one of the worst diseases of its day. If you've ever read anything about it, I mean, people's noses weren't there, ears were off, fingers were gone. I mean, it was just terrible and very contagious. That's why they needed to stay away from it so it didn't spread. And thank God our sin isn't contagious, isn't it? See, it separates us from God, but we can still be in fellowship. But sin is such a cancer, it's such a disease that we have, that the good news is we can bring it to God, and He will forgive it if we take it to Him. Be thankful for the ability, like these 10 lepers, to ask God to show mercy on you. That's a great reason to be thankful, that at any time you can be alone and you can pray to God and have His full attention, crying out to the Lord, have mercy on me, forgive me. It's a beautiful thing that at any moment we can cry out. We must ask. James says in our Bibles, he says, you have not because you ask not. I think there's a real need in the body of Christ for people to be asking in prayer without the impossibility or the doubt that's in our minds that God isn't going to forgive me. See, there's not a lot of evidence in our Bibles that any lepers were healed other than a very few. These ones that Jesus healed, certainly. Moses' sister, Miriam, she was healed. God says, you know, set her aside for 7 days, but after 7 days, she'll be healed. Every healing of leprosy in the Bible that was recorded is supernaturally healed. It's the same way with our sin. Our sin is supernaturally eradicated. Our sin is supernaturally removed by the grace of God. Nothing else. Not if we walk better, if we pray more, if we read more, not if we're nicer to people. No, our sin is supernaturally removed because of what God did for us. Asking Him, seeking Him. It's a supernatural work. These lepers could have very easily said, well, there's Jesus, but He probably won't do it for us. He probably won't answer. And maybe there's somebody in this room that says, you know what, I've done such bad things in my past, I don't think God will forgive me. There is no sin in the world that God will not forgive. God bless you. Other than the sin of unbelief, you must believe, and your sins can be removed. Don't let anything hinder you from getting that forgiveness that God wants to give to you, that mercy that God wants to give. These men said, have mercy on us. These men needed mercy, and there wasn't another human being on the planet that would give them mercy. People avoided them. The plague, literally. Are you thankful that you can call out to Jesus today and be in close relationship with Him? If you've been separated from God for any reason, or if you feel distance from God, in any moment you can come right back into that intimate relationship, say, Father, forgive me. I've been distracted. I've been busy. And He'll be right there with you. That is a very amazing thing to be thankful for. When Jesus sees them, they call out to Him. In verse 14, He says, and Jesus sees them. I just think that's so powerful because most people would avoid them. Most people probably wouldn't even look at the lepers. But Jesus sees. And it's a reminder to us that Jesus sees our condition. He sees the place that we're in that nobody else sees. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know specifically what's going on inside your heart. But when Jesus looks at you, He's looking right in the center of your heart. He knows exactly what's going on. So He saw them. And I wonder, for these lepers, as they're crying out, and Jesus turns to look at them, I wonder if they're like, oh, He's looking at us. He paid attention. Maybe the first person in many years to actually pay attention to them. And their family and their friends would avoid them. How hard of a life that is. In fact, Leviticus 18, this is biblical, it's in our Bibles. You shall be unclean if you're a leper. All the days he has sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean and shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. This is what the Bible says. This is what God says. You might think, oh, well, I thought God was a loving God. Why is He doing this? So leprosy doesn't spread throughout the land. But to live this life of loneliness, it should not be for the believer. Do you feel alone? Do you feel outside the camp? Do you feel like you've done some things in your life that's kind of got you set aside, that you don't want to be in close, intimate relationship or fellowship with other believers because if they find out what you've done? Listen, we've all done bad things. We've all done things we don't want to talk about. And honestly, there's things we've done we shouldn't talk about because God's going to forgive it and He's going to choose to forget them. We should too. Don't feel alienated, come to God and ask Him for that mercy. That mercy is there if you ask. But you must ask. The healing power of Jesus, the saving grace of Christ to literally be able to heal a leper like that. It's a powerful thing. He goes on, and what Jesus says in verse 14, he says, so then when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was, as they went, they were healed. Now, this is significant because there was a story in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, when a leper came up to Jesus and said, Lord Jesus, I know you can heal me. I'm asking if you will, if it's in your will. And Jesus basically says, I'm willing and you're healed. And immediately the Bible says his leprosy left him. For these 10 guys, they say, Lord, have mercy on us. He says, go show yourself to the priest. No healing. Leprosy's still there. They had to go to the priest because only the priest could declare them completely clean and allow them to come back into community. So that's why Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Think about the amount of faith it must take for these 10 lepers who are still in the leprous condition to have to go towards walk. I'd be like, well, I got to be healed first. Think about the exercising of the faith to believe that Jesus is going to do the healing even though it hasn't come yet. Has anybody ever had a prayer, an answer to a prayer delayed? Anybody? Everybody? See, the thing I love about this is God wants our faith to be intact. God wants our faith to be there before the miracle may come. See, the healing may not come immediately, but it may come later. And I love the fact that delayed answers are still answers. Delayed healings are still healings. You know, when we pray by faith over children or over people's health and they don't immediately get healed, we don't go, oh, I guess God's not going to do it. No, we trust that God's at work. And sometimes God heals immediately. Sometimes God says, I need you to walk by faith for a little while and believe that your healing is coming. So these 10 lepers could have easily said, well, we're not healed. We're not doing what he said. Or what they did, they put their faith in Jesus, says, if you tell us to do something, we're going to do it. And they began to walk. And as they walked out their faith, they were healed. Phew. It must have been an amazing and powerful experience for them. Again, remembering that other leopard got healed immediately. Why didn't he heal me immediately? Because he wanted them to exercise their faith. Exercise their faith. God does things differently in different people's lives. See, what is it now? 3.5 years ago, when I had my incident, my heart attack, after I got out of the hospital, I found out about another gentleman who had the very same thing happen to him that happened to me. But he didn't survive. And those are the times when we go, why, God? Why did you heal me? Why did you spare me? And why didn't you spare this man? I mean, this man had a wife. He had kids. And it's like, I don't understand why God sometimes does and sometimes doesn't. Why he sometimes heals immediately and why sometimes it seems like it takes a little bit longer. And I think it's just for each and every person's faith to be challenged, to be stretched, and to ask, will you be thankful in this time? Will you be obedient in this time? See, God may be having your answer and your healing in the days ahead, but he's asking you to be faithful right now. And that's the reality. If these guys did not walk away by faith going towards the priest, they may not have been healed. So are we being obedient to what God tells us to do, written in his word, that he's spoken to our hearts, or are we waiting for the answer before we do anything? See, we can't say, God, if you would just bless my finances, I would be such a giving person. It's backwards. God, if you would just heal me, then I would do what you wanted me to do. No, no, no. God's saying, do what I want you to do, and I'll take care of the outcome. That's what faith does. That's how faith exercises. So we must be obedient to what God says when he says it. The healing came after they walked away. And that's huge. The healing came after they walked away because that's what faith does. You know that we know that scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I mean, who doesn't know that verse, right? If you don't, you do know. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I love that verse, right? We go, I can do anything and Christ will strengthen me. Don't think we can take it that way. I think we should take it as Christ strengthens us, we can do whatever he's equipped us for. I mean, it's not just a blank check to say, hey, go do whatever you want, and I'm going to give you the strength to do it. No, I can do all things that Christ strengthens me to do. And so there must be that dependence upon God. If it is in His will to do something in your life, you can bank on it, He will do it. His will shall be done. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And I always say, and I can do absolutely nothing He doesn't strengthen me for. That's just it. I can want it, I can try to do it, but it's not going to happen unless He gives me the strength to do it. And I'm thankful for that. Because I'm thankful that I don't have the ability to just start doing stuff and do things God doesn't want me to do. Because then I won't need Him. If there's a dependence upon God, there was a dependence for these lepers to be dependent upon what Jesus said and to be obedient to it. I know for a fact, myself included in this room, God has told us to do some things, and we're delaying doing those things because we're wanting the answer first. You know, Peter said, Lord, let me walk on water. Take the first step, Peter. Right? What was it? I mean, as the children of Israel were going into the promised land, what did God say? As soon as the priest stepped their foot into the Jordan, it would part. Well, if they had never taken that first step, it would have never parted. We must take the first step. We must exercise our faith. And we must be thankful that God is walking through us with these things, during these things. If Christ strengthens me to do something, then I can do it. Otherwise, there's no way I can do it. And sometimes I think, even in the body, that we think, well, if I had enough faith, then I should be healed. If I had enough faith, then my life would change. Have anybody ever heard that? It's not real. Look at this saying. Maida, could you put that faith? Yeah. A little faith plus a big God equals huge results. Aren't you glad your Bible says it only takes the faith of a mustard seed to tell a mountain to move? Aren't you glad God says, hey, you need to have enough faith for everybody in this room before I'm going to do anything? Would we ever know we had enough faith? No, we wouldn't. But God tells us, if you just have a little, it just takes a little. Because if it took more than that, then we could say, well, I did it. Aren't I a wonderful, faithful person? No, God did it. So we give God the glory. So just a little faith plus a big God, huge results. Are you thankful for that? Are you grateful for that fact that God can do amazing work in your life if you let Him? I think so. God wants to walk with us. He wants our faith to be exercised. Notice in verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. The Bible tells us he was a Samaritan because the Samaritans were second-class citizens of Jews. They were kind of separate from Jews. But here the Bible says it was the Samaritan that noticed during his healing, he turned around immediately, comes to Jesus, and worships him. Think about this for a minute. As I said to you earlier, a leper is separated from his family, he's separated from his friends, he's separated from all society. Once he's healed, wouldn't you think the first thing, I gotta go see my wife. I gotta go love on my kids. I haven't hugged my kids in years. The first thing this man does is turn around and go right back to Jesus and worship him. I want us this week to be mindful about turning ourselves around and be thankful to God. Notice it happened immediately. I believe we're the kind of people that we are, that if we don't give God thanks immediately, we tend to forget. Right? Once God gives us an answer, if we don't say, thank you, Lord, then guess what? We're going to be on our knees again saying, Lord, I need this now. I mean, we just are that way. Immediately, we must give thanks to the Lord for the things that He's done. There are things that God has done in your life that maybe you haven't been thankful for. I look at this, 10% of those that were healed came back and gave glory to God. 10% of the people in this room maybe gave. Is that the reality? Are we that kind? And this was a foreigner. Jesus says, this foreigner comes back and gives me thanks? The one that's outside the chosen family of God is the one that's giving thanks? Shouldn't the church, God's people, His body, His family be the ones that are constantly giving thanks to God? God forbid that unbelievers would be thanking a God they don't know. But we know God, and we should be thanking Him. Keep a record of what you've been asking God so you don't forget. And the column on the right said, I gave God thanks. I gave God thanks. I've said this before. I give God thanks for green lights. I don't like red lights. So when I'm in traffic and I get a green light, thank you, Lord. I know it's silly. But you know what it does for me? It helps me be thankful to God. It helps me to become, it's a habit, it's a choice, it's something that we choose to do. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you that we get to come. Now, what is this? Are you serious right now? Whose kids are those? Good girl. That's conviction of the Holy Spirit. I love it. Did you forget something? Oh, no. Sorry. Where was I? Yeah, being thankful. I'm so thankful for you. The green lights. Thanking God for the little things in life will make you be a thankful person, a grateful person. Thank God for the little things, the things that we tend to miss in life, that we just kind of go by and forget to say, God, thank you. Imagine if God required your next blessing to be dependent upon your last thanksgiving. Think about if your next prayer will only be answered if your previous prayer was thanked for, given thanks for. God wants it. As kids, as parents, you love it when your kids say thank you, right? When they come back to you and say, oh, thank you for feeding me. Thank you for giving me a house to live in. Thank you, Dad. You love that. That's the same thing with God, that we would just come back to him and say, Lord, thank you. I think it's an important thing for us this week to be mindful of being thankful. As Thanksgiving is here, gosh, but more than that, right? Not just on Thursday. Not just when we're sitting around with family and friends telling each other what we're thankful for, but every day being thankful to God. Thanksgiving for the believer is every single day. Put up the happy picture for me. I love this. I found this. It's not happy people who are thankful. It's thankful people who are happy. I love that. I love that. It's those of us who are thankful find ourselves happier. If you're trying to find things to be thankful for, you're not going to be happy. There's plenty to be unthankful for. There's plenty in life to be discouraged about. But if we can find in the midst of those things, things to be thankful for, we're going to be happy. We're going to be pleased. And this one gentleman, this one leper says, Jesus has healed me. I believe with all of my heart that this leper, this one leper was like, what would my life be like if I was healed? What would it be like if I wasn't in this condition? What would I do if someone healed me? What would I do if Jesus of Nazareth healed me like he did that other leper months ago? What would I do? I believe it was a condition of his heart that he said, if I ever get healed, I'm going to thank the one who heals me. I think that should be our attitude this week. If anything happens good in my life, I'm going to be thankful to the one who gave it to me. Thankful for your job. Thankful for your home. Thankful for your family. Thank you for your relationship with God. Some people in this room are thankful for deer season. This one leper comes back and he gives God thanks. Notice what Jesus says in verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not only found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? I believe in these verses, Jesus is saying, I do expect some sense of gratitude. I do expect, again, expectation for the thankfulness that we are to God. Not that it's a requirement. I mean, thank God. He doesn't say, if you don't say thanks, I'm taking back what I gave you. Thank you, Lord. But I think there is some sense that, come back to me and give me thanks. Only this foreigner. And then in verse 19, so he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. That word well, if you circle that word right alongside it, saved. It's the same word that we get in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Made it, stick that up there. Thank you. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You shall be well. It's the same word. This leper who came back and gave gratitude to God had all of his mistakes forgiven. He was saved. 10 of them earlier said, Jesus, Master, right? Confess with it, Master, but only this one came back and gave gratitude, and Jesus said, I'm going to heal you even more. I'm going to take away all your shame. I'm going to take away all your guilt, all your mistakes. That is the reality for believers, that before Jesus Christ, we are forgiven of all of our mistakes. We are saved. We are made completely well. The other 9, though they are healed of their disease, they're still not believers. When we come back and give thanks, we show our Lord how grateful we are for what he's done in our lives. Are you a thankful person? Are you one that gives God gratitude for the things that he's done in your life? I encourage you this week, even today, to start what I call a gratitude list. A gratitude list. Literally writing down the things you are grateful for. Because I find when we write them down, we begin to really mean it. We begin to really pay attention to it. My wife and I have this thing, we encourage couples to give caring lists to each other. Share with each other the things that will show you that your spouse cares about you. I love how couples want you to figure it out. It's like, I've never understood that. I'm not going to figure it out. You better tell me what it is, and then you'll get what you want. Tell each other. Communication. Caring list. Same way, a gratitude list. A list that we write down physically so that we can look at it, so we can see it with our eyes and begin to believe how thankful we are to God. I think once you do that, you'll become a person that is thankful and ultimately be a very happy person. This Thanksgiving, give thanks to God. Don't forget to give thanks to God. Before you have one piece of turkey, before you eat one piece of pie, say, God, thank you for the people around this table. And here, do this for me. Because maybe there's some people in here that have nobody for Thanksgiving. There's still a reason for you to be grateful. There's still a reason for something in your life. If you look hard enough, you can see God working in your life. Be grateful. Don't forget. This week, do it. Put it into practice. A little bit of faith, a big God, huge results. Amen? Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for these 10 men, these lepers who cried out to you, God, who made their request known to you, and then the way you worked, Lord, the way you healed them, the way you showed mercy upon them. God, we need that mercy. Forgive us this morning of our sins. Have mercy upon our souls. Heal us, Lord, of our illnesses. Cure us, God, of our pride, of our anger, of our doubt and frustration. Let love abound in our hearts. Let this Thanksgiving truly be a Thanksgiving where we give you thanks. If we are not doing it, God, no one will. So I pray that the church would raise up, show their gratitude for all that you have done, are doing, and will yet to do. Bless us as we gather this afternoon over this lunch. Let us even start today to be grateful and thankful people for the things that we called out here this morning. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.